B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
For weeks, an unknown man has called libraries around the country asking for a specific Supreme Court opinion to be read to him. As the librarians comply, it becomes clear that he is pleasuring himself to the words of the court. But here's the thing. It is always Brady versus Maryland.
What's particularly erotic about that decision?
There are actual Supreme Court opinions with pornography discussed in the facts.
I think you would want boner versus vagina.
Here's the librarian that added their personal experience with a website called The Slippery Gavel. It says, I talked to him. He's absolutely pleasuring himself while you read the court case. He has hit multiple libraries across the country. He's called my library twice and another local library last week. So if you get a blocked number asking you to read Brady versus Maryland wiki article while he, quote, writes it out by hand, hang up, log it, and tell your managers about it.
That's so they can audibly hear him.
Yeah.
Getting off.
Even more bizarrely, this may not be this guy's first rodeo. This is here's another excerpt from the library think tank group on Facebook, and they see a pattern in the recent spate of calls. One person said, does anybody remember the guy who used to call libraries asking for John Grisham titles to be read out loud to him? I was a victim of that 8+ years ago, and I think he just called again. This time he wanted an entire Wikipedia page read to him, so I'm just forewarning everyone that calling for information on Brady versus Maryland should not be taken seriously.
Do they mention the specifics of that particular?
No. But they said that articles, pornography is mentioned.
Oh, pornography. Yeah, says, all right, there we go.
There are actual Supreme Court opinions with pornography discussed in the facts.
All right, well, there you go.
Get off.
So here's another one. It says, we got this call today. Said his computer crashed and wanted to write it down, an article that was read to him. It ended with heavy breathing and lewdness. The librarian hung
get
up.
Off.
So watch out. All right, here's a story. I believe this is out of New Zealand. A group of Gisborne hero grandmothers sprang into action, wielding chairs, handbags, and kicking over tables to fight off two wannabe thieves who tried to rob them of $700 during their bingo night.
Gisborne, did you say?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with that town.
So, never battle old ladies over bingo.
They'll kick your ass.
About 30 women.
That's a bingo.
The oldest of whom was 87 were playing just before 8 p.m. on Friday at the Gisborne Pirates Rugby Club when two thieves in balaclavas and draped in black burst into the game. One of the 67-year-old hero grandmothers who inspired the defense of her and her friend's $700 prize pouch after she flipped over her table in front of a fleeing staff.
You want a piece of me?
Said, we were sitting here playing housey. If you look at Pirates Club rooms, they've got a side door and they had to go past the table that I'm sitting at, so they go to where the money is. She said, I'm playing and I'm thinking, who's this idiot running past me? And I thought, oh, hey, he's grabbing money. The lady running the housey, which I guess is what they call bingo.
Right.
She's trying to fight to get him the money back. And he turned around to run back to the door. And I thought to myself, bugger this.
Bugger this.
And that's when I bloody shoved the table I was sitting at right in front of him. And he flipped over. He fell to the ground. A couple of the nannies on the other side were hitting him with their bags. It wasn't until he ran off and the pouch of money was still there. The 67-year-old describes the two young thieves as clowns who were clothed in army beanies, orange balaclavas, black track pants, and brown hunting hoodies. Elaine Lamont was dealing the housey cards on Friday night and said the two young thieves weren't armed. She said they said nothing. He came in and ran across the room to where my table was, tried to grab the containers that we had our money in. We had to scuffle, trying to pull the containers backwards and forwards with him, but I was determined that he wasn't going to take the money. Lamont said once the running thief was stripped of the prize pouch, the other nannies began throwing plastic chairs at the second man in the doorway. And she said they got away with nothing. The police were notified after they ran away.
There's footage, Preston, of her jumping up a la Black Widow with her legs around his neck.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Once they got around the door, about three or four elderly ladies tried to chase him outside. It was pouring with the rain, and police had their dogs out, and they haven't been caught yet.
Wow.
Unfortunately, one woman did end up with a bloody nose, but
they gave as good as they got.
Absolutely. Well, the woman accused of killing her boyfriend while acting out a movie scene pleaded guilty on Friday. Kalisha Marie Peterson pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter. David Dalton died of a single gunshot wound to the head. Peterson called 911 immediately after shooting him. The judge sentenced her to 8 years in prison. Now, she admitted she had been drinking whiskey, was intoxicated, and a bottle of whiskey was found in the bedroom. Peterson and her boyfriend, 36-year-old David Dalton, were playing out a scene of a movie that involved a gun. She told police that they were acting out a scene from Deadpool.
Yeah.
With a handgun that was loaded.
Do you ever believe these things when they say, acting out a scene? Or do you think it's something a lot of times they'll say to cover an intentional murder?
I think sometimes it can certainly happen, yeah. But I think you can also use it as an excuse. I wouldn't say it every time they're lying, but yeah. I don't know. I mean, she's going to jail for 8 years.
If you're reenacting a scene from Legally Blonde, then I would say it was a murder.
All right, and then one last story. A Toronto family's tiny Yorkshire Terrier is being hailed as a hero after rescuing her 10-year-old owner from an attacking coyote.
Yeah, this is cool.
Lily Kwan, who was 10 years old, said that she was walking Macy, her family's 6-year-old Yorkie, when a coyote started to chase him. Lily said that she started to run and had to drop the 10-pound dog's leash because Macy refused to follow. A neighbor's home security camera recorded video as Macy turned to confront the coyote. Lily said, she's a super brave dog. I love her so much. And I just thought this tiny dog could protect this huge human being trying to fight off this huge coyote. Macy survived the confrontation and is being treated by a veterinarian for multiple puncture wounds from the coyote's teeth. Lily's family said Macy was transferred to an intensive care when one of the wounds became infected and she developed a fever, but she's expected to make a full recovery.
Clever dog. As the coyote was chasing her, Preston, she painted a fake railroad tunnel against a brick wall.
Oh, and he ran into
it. Yeah.
I could totally see this, man, because my dogs are Yorkies, and Haley, the youngest, the smallest one, she would go toe-to-toe.
They throw down? Yeah.
With a big one. She has no fear. Yep.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
I probably should have done this one earlier, but I'm going to hit this now. A single Japanese man almost died from spanking it too much.
Oh. Hey, we've all been there.
We've all been there. Is this going to kill me? I think I almost died on that one.
Till I need glasses.
A doctor claimed that the 51-year-old, who they didn't identify, enjoyed pleasuring himself several times a day.
I think I got to go one more time.
But his habit nearly killed him.
Just one more time.
You got one more in.
I got one more.
But his habit nearly killed him on one occasion last year after he suffered a stroke just moments after finishing. The NHS says the stroke the man suffered can be triggered by having sex, coughing, and even going to the bathroom.
Wow.
The man was instantly struck down with agonizing thunderclap headaches after he climaxed, and he later began vomiting. Concerned about his sudden symptoms, he took himself to the hospital. Doctors noticed that he had low blood pressure and was disoriented.
This guy's on his game.
Which are two telltale signs of a stroke. Medics carry out a CAT scan on his brain to find the root cause of his symptoms.
Have you ever done it so solidly that you caused yourself a stroke?
No.
I mean, that's when you know that's like, you know, when you're in the zone.
Yeah. All my stroking took place beforehand. Results revealed...
That's like, what do they call it? Draft racing or drifting behind
drifting. Yeah. Results revealed that he had endured a subarachnoid hemorrhage.
Okay, so spiders.
A life-threatening type of stroke that was caused by blood vessel in his brain rupturing.
Wow.
The man survived his ordeal and was discharged. There's so many words here. Discharge. after nearly 2 weeks in the hospital in an excellent condition. Dr. Masahiro...
Dad, can I talk to you for a minute?
Oh, Jesus. No. Dr. Masahiro Umura and colleagues who published the case offered no explanation as to why he may have suffered a stroke from pleasuring himself, but the NHS says the brain bleed can happen as a result of physical exertion.
I can tell you, he was a pound in the pagoda.
Such as lifting something heavy or having sex.
Wow.
Sexual activity of various kinds has been linked to between 3.8% and 14% of all subarachnoid hemorrhage cases.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, actually, Blues Traveler.
John Popper.
Popper had a similar situation.
Yeah, a heart attack.
Heart attack, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Chinese media recently reported the case of a 14-year-old boy who shocked police when he accused his father of illegal child labor because he had been forced to do chores around the house. Yeah,
this is my daughter. I didn't think of that as an... Really? She gives you that?
Well, not really, but...
She's unionizing?
Chores, you may as well think that we're trying to enforce slave labor. Sick of seeing his son with his hands and eyes glued to his phone and ignoring his homework and studies, a parent decided to give the boy a taste of life's hardships and asked him to put down the handheld and do some housework. Angry with his father for making him take a break from his phone, a reportedly smartphone-addicted teenager snuck out of the house when his father wasn't paying attention, went straight to the police station, and there he proceeded to accuse his father of illegal child labor.
Mm-hmm.
The officers on duty didn't really understand what was going on when the 14-year-old boy made his accusation, so he accompanied the boy to the home to get a better understanding of the situation. When he told the boy's father what his son had accused him of, the flabbergasted parent proceeded to explain what had happened, and he simply took the boy's phone away and made him do house chores. Under Chinese law, housework does not constitute child labor. So the parent was in the clear, but the officer tried to find out how the boy could report his father for something that could have landed him behind bars. After getting no answer from the teenager, the policeman advised his father to discipline him, adding that taking his smartphone away for what seemed like seemed like a good idea. To that, the boy replied, "Do you really think I only have that mobile phone? That's so naive of you." He said that to the cop.
To the cop?
Yeah.
And the cop says, here's my taser.
Yeah, nothing ever happened that I know of after that.
Tase the little bastard.
He felt it was child labor. Carol Taylor may be 83, but she now has a fifth-degree black belt in karate,
wow,
an honor that she actually received from Chuck Norris himself.
Wow.
The Utah woman's passion for martial arts began 15 years ago at the age of 68 when she started taking her 11-year-old granddaughter to lessons. She said, "I thought, wow, this is mental and physical. This would be a good thing for someone my age to do. So I asked the teacher if it would be all right if I joined classes, and so that's why I did it."
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandma.
Taylor learned karate alongside her granddaughter. She said, "We both got our first degree black belts at about the same time." And she said that on Saturday, the granddaughter was there to watch Taylor show off her skills in front of dozens at Chuck Norris's annual United Fighting Arts Federation International Training Convention. For her demonstration, Taylor chose to show forms of karate, including traditional hand techniques, stances, footwork, targeting, focusing, and power. She performed to the Beach Boys song Little Old Lady from Pasadena.
Walker told me I had AIDS.
Because that's where she grew up. Taylor fooled the crowd by using her bow as a cane to hobble onto the center of the mat, prompting laughter and smiles from Norris and the rest of the crowd.
Like Willy Wonka.
She then straightened her back exactly and began a display of powerful stances and fierce facial expressions. Taylor received a standing ovation from Norris and many in attendance afterwards. Norris awarded her a fifth-degree black belt, an accomplishment that takes years to reach in the Chuck Norris system.
Sadly, later she broke her hip while flushing the toilet.
All right, one last story, and then we will wrap it up. The owners of a Montreal barbershop that had its glass door broken by a couple in the throes of passion want to find the pair to make sure that they weren't injured and to offer and to treat them to a night at a hotel. Mike Rose and Dave Lechasseur, co-owners of Savvy Barbershop, would like to identify the couple who smashed through the shop's glass door as they were making out early Monday morning.
Could you imagine that?
Lechasseur said, "It's just to go full circle to see if everybody's fine. Nobody got hurt. How did they actually end for them? Or how did it end for them? And I just want to see." The shop's owner said that they're even willing to pay for a night stay at a hotel so if they come forward and identify themselves. The video has racked up thousands of views on social media, shows the couple embracing as they back into the store's glass front and fall through it. They initially thought that a robber had hit them, but they saw the video and they were just making out. So there you go. That is what I have in the Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.